What's happening, weirdos?
What's happening? It's a great one. Lots to catch up on.
A lot of singing up top, if I remember correctly.
A lot of singing. And we tell the story of my special, which I just shot this past weekend. Mm-hmm. Was so excited to see everybody in Minneapolis. That'll be out in October on Netflix. I'm excited for you to see it. But it is a story. It's a good story.
It's a tale.
But that's a part of this. And we also talk, I don't know, I love this chat, as always.
Too.
And it just brought me to life. And I'm so happy that we got to do it.
Yeah.
And we're so happy that you guys are here. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, for
yikes.
Clicking on.
Thanks for clicking on. A couple things. I'm on tour, PeteHolmes.com. Come see me do stand-up. Very proud of this new hour. And if you'd like to support the show, the best thing you can do is try a Pete's Pick. Katie, roll the ads. And if you like this show, we only do ads for things that we actually use and actually love. And the best product... Well, what I'm saying is, if there's one piece of technology that's changed my life for the better in the past couple of years, it's this. If you're watching the video, it's the Apollo Neuro. It's a piece of wearable technology that you wear. I wear mine on the inside of the wrist. You can also wear it on your ankle if you want to be more discreet. But it delivers these almost subperceptual vibrations that speak to your nervous system in the language that it can understand, basically giving your body the sensation of a wearable hug, helping you recover from stress and get that feeling of being touched or held. It can help you relax. It can help you sleep, focus, and be more productive using touch therapy to help you feel safe and in control. It's an absolute game changer. I have one. Val has one. We've gifted Apollos to so many of our friends. It is incredible. Energy and wake up is one. Social is one. Clear and focused. Rebuild and recover. Great for after workouts. Great for after stressful phone calls or long days at work. Calm is one. Who doesn't want that? It's like finding the fuse box to your nervous system and you press calm and it just lulls you into a calm state. Great for meditation. Unwind at night is a setting. Unwind and fall asleep. If there's anything better than getting up in the night, peeing, and then laying back down, having a hard time falling back asleep and realizing you have an ally. You have something on your wrist that you can push the buttons. You don't have to go on your phone. You can push the buttons and rerun the last program, and it gently lulls you back to sleep, chemical-free. Apollo Neuro was developed by a neuroscientist and a board-certified psychiatrist who have been studying the impacts of chronic stress in humans for nearly 15 years. And Apollo's effects on stress, sleep, cognitive performance, and recovery have been proven in multiple clinical trials and real-world studies. It is not woo-woo. It is science. It is incredible. And you can get 10% off at apolloneuro.com/weird. That's apolloneuro.com/weird. Do yourself some support. Give yourself some support and support this show. apolloneuro.com/weird. Also, the product that has changed my life hugely when it comes to my brain is Onnit and Alpha Brain. They make a nootropic. I've tried lots of different nootropics. There is none better than Alpha Brain. Alpha, what's a nootropic? It's like earth-grown ingredients that help your brain with focus, memory, and concentration. If you do something that involves your brain and you'd like to do that a little bit more easily, with a little less effort, with more clarity, with more concentration, with more dialed-in focus, Alpha Brain is a huge, huge ally, a supporter to have in your corner. It's not a stimulant. It's not like caffeine. It doesn't get you jolty. It just gives your brain the nutrition it needs to focus and dial in. I use it before I do stand-up. I use it before I write. I even use it before I go on a date with Val. Just have full access of my brain, my personality, and my memory. I love it. I wish I knew about it in school. I'm so glad I know about it now. So if you do something that involves your brain, chances are you do. It's a wonderful way to show support to your noodle and also to the show. Go to onnit.com/weird and use promo code weird for 10% off everything you see on that landing page. onnit.com/weird. All right, everybody. We made it weird. We're here. We're weird. We hold
get
you
used
dear.
To it.
Get used to it. Valerie?
Get into it.
Beat, beauty, beep, beat, beauty, beep, beep, beauty, beep, beep, beauty, beep, 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 be Can I? I'm trying to, but I'm beholden.
You can't stop the melody even though you have something to say. Can I please interrupt myself? You can't stop the music. It's true what they say.
It's the law of a cappella. La cappella. La cappella.
La cappella.
I want to say, oh my God.
I need a real sigh it out.
Just do it in your car, Calvin.
Truly see how low you can get with your register and then feel that vibration through your body.
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
I fell in.
I wish everyone could see you right now.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. Now, ring that higher.
It's so funny. You look like you're like nodding off. Like you just
had to
get as low
like a juror
as possible. But you know what's
like
funny?
Like an elderly juror.
A rural juror. You know what's funny about that is like when we sing, your head goes the direction that you're trying to go. So
mine
if you're singing,
or everyone's?
Everyone. So if you're singing low, you do tend to like make your head go lower. If you're singing high, if you're hitting a high note.
Yeah. Well, you open up like a Pez dispenser.
Yeah, but you're not. But you're not supposed to. You have that intuition, but it actually stretches out your vocal cords more. So it's like an exercise to try and like sing a high note with a neutral.
I was just saying that because we went to Bakersfield last night to see my niece, not your niece, our niece.
Our niece.
Dance.
Annie June, you know her? She's the cutest little spoon.
She's a cute little soybean. And it's so funny. It's so... This feels good to sing, man.
I know. It's important. It's important.
I almost don't even want to say my dumb point, but...
Yeah, just sing it.
I noticed that the dancing girls, as they got older, got the note that you should smile.
Yes.
But the younger ones didn't smile.
But I'm sure they were told to.
No, I'm sure they were too. And it's the last little frosting on the cake when you're learning how to dance. And on one hand, I was like, that's sort of creepy that you're smiling just because it's nice to look at someone who's smiling.
Right.
But also I was like, dance, man. They think of everything. Even like, what should you do with your face? Of course, I immediately go to like... Showgirls and like Vegas and the sort of sadness of maybe you're not feeling so happy. Anyone smiling and they don't feel like a smile, tends to break it. Like Disneyland employees
or worship teams. That was like, my whole life.
Praise him today. Didn't his dog just die? Praise him today. Why are they lowering the dog from wires? Why are they animating the dead dog?
Like a puppet.
Like a puppet.
Running up to lick his face. This is morbid. And he's smiling.
I don't think he likes it, though.
He doesn't.
Speaking of.
He doesn't. Okay.
Hey, shush. Just let's
it's
stop.
It's okay, Brody.
Stop.
It's okay, baby. It's
good
okay.
Good boy. Good boy.
But so my friend Rachel used to, you know, like I was always a smiley kid because I got the message early on that in order to be safe, you have to be undeniably likable. But my friend...
Brody.
Come here. But my friend Rachel, who was like my best friend growing
cool
up,
it.
Your urn, what urn was to you, your friend, Rachel was to me. And she is, you know, she was arguably a little bit healthier in that she didn't feel like she had to smile unless she was particularly yeah, but, happy.
And am I drawn to Rachel? No, I'm drawn to you.
Well, yeah, but it's, you know, all I mean? A trick.
No, I know, but I, given the choice, I hope this is interesting.
Yeah.
I've hung out with Rachel. No, I have no problem with Rachel. In fact,
Rachel's my friend fantastic.
Chris Thayer reminds me of Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Chris also pretty much only smiles when he feels it, which yeah. is great. I yeah. will argue for that philosophically.
Right.
But given the choice, I will all... You're smiling right now.
Am
and
I
know you're dead inside.
I am.
And no, you can't ride in the back, bud.
MacGruber.
But... MacGrubes. But, I like the nice. That's kind of what I meant about the dancing.
But
I know it's not real, but it's just sort of sweet that,
yeah.
that we're trying to.
And it works on us. You know, like yeah. that there is, like, we are babies. We have mirror neurons. And we're like, when you smile, I feel
that's
happy.
Exactly what I'm saying. So their smile, we can look at it two ways. One, maybe they're not happy.
Mm.
Two, they're putting the audience's happiness above their own
yeah.
and would like to remind you with their smile
mm-hmm.
that the reason they're footloose and fancy free right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that would make you laugh. I thought you were going to laugh so hard that instead of dancing, I said footloose and fancy free. And you're just like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were. No, I liked
it. I'm going to smile because I want you to know that that's why I'm dancing. I want you to smile.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Disneyland too. You mm-hmm. can, like when people go like, it's fucking dark, man. Yeah, the whole goddamn thing is so dark.
Yeah.
It's so dark. Today, how I feel today, I think it's beautiful that people are
mm-hmm.
out there trying
oh, yeah.
to get you to smile even with a fake smile.
It's also, this is...
I'll take it.
Exactly. Disneyland and all of this is it's all life. It's light and it's dark, and you'll find what you're looking for.
At Disney?
At Disney or like you
want to go to
like,
Disney?
Yeah, let's go. Wait, that was so
it sounded like a dog.
That was so
it sounded like a
car peeling out.
It's a hard one to do.
Wait.
Do you mind? You did like a Tim Allen.
But I want to see how you would do a car peeling out because you're good at sound effects.
That's it.
Okay, that's
as good as you can do.
Is
it's terrible.
It makes me feel better that you can't
yours
do it.
Is, no, I can't do it.
Oh my gosh. But I do want
to
go
do my
see.
Good sound just to cleanse the palate.
Oh my gosh.
It's perfect.
I can't.
I'm shaving
it.
The small hairs on my neck.
That's like insane. How? It couldn't be better.
Or an electric guitar. This is fucking great. This is fucking great. I don't mean the sound. I mean, for a second, I was in a musty carpeted wood paneled basement like Stranger Things, and I was 12 years old. He's going, my whole childhood, in fact, speaking of Urn, was me just heavy in a white Bart Simpson t-shirt
mm-hmm.
and jams and just being like and waiting for someone to go, that's incredible, and they're not coming. Brother, they're not coming.
But then they did. They did. Look at you now. Oh my gosh. I can't believe how much better I feel than I did 10 minutes ago. I like really needed to laugh because I'm...
It just feels good to
I'm
laugh
experiencing
again.
What you experienced when you started lifting heavies. Like, what's a cool way to say
curling
it?
Heavies?
curling
Excuse
heavies.
Excuse me, are you curling heavies over there? I see those guns.
Do you raise metal?
Raise metal. By the way, I'm pre-writing a bit about how when I do get to a place, let's see if I get to a place where I have to acknowledge that like my body is more muscly.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait.
It just
wait.
Has to be acknowledged.
It just, well, I'm wearing like a Speedo, just a Speedo.
And what? You look fantastic.
But it's embarrassing, but you have caught me going like, what if it does get to a place where you need to do a bit about it?
Yeah.
The bit would be, what's the big deal? Just go in a boring fucking room and lift a thing over and over.
This is what I was
going to
say.
Like, what? But why are these the heralded, special, chosen people of our society? They're tan. Okay, so you laid out, you fucking cringus. Two, I'm not actually teasing. Two, you lifted heavy things over and over and you committed to it. Now, I understand that the committing is difficult, but when you actually look what's being done, it's not that sensational. So when you walk in and I'm lifting weights, lifting metal.
Yeah.
I'm lifting, there's a little bit of, I'm metal. A little raising metal. There's a little part of me that's embarrassed because it's just up and then down, up and then down, and then up and then down, and then up and then down, and yeah. then up and then down, and then up. And you have to call it a set yeah. to try and make it cool. Is this what you were going to say?
No, actually, it's the opposite. But I'm with you. I totally agree. The action is, it's so simple, but I actually am having... I was so grumpy. So I'm doing Pilates and this is like the first time in a long time I've done strength training. I've done like dancing and cardio, but I haven't like, you know, like I have ankle weights on and I'm like doing ankle circles and I'm crunching.
Do you know
so
Cardi B's sister, cardio?
Nice. And I feel like it is raising my testosterone. And here's the part that I do agree with you. What's happening is, so I'm getting like angry and grumpy and have like a shorter fuse.
Yeah, I've noticed. Not in a bad way.
No.
No. I've noticed going like Val's in her power.
Yeah.
I love it.
I don't know.
I would have hated if you said, yeah, I noticed, but I meant it in a good way. I really did.
I don't believe you because I don't feel like I've been using it in a good way.
Well, can I jump in? Because I love this so much.
Okay.
It will never feel like you're using it in a good way.
Oh, interesting.
Even when you are.
Interesting.
It will always feel like, wow. Oh no, the werewolf got out and ate a hen.
Wow.
And then people will be like, thanks for eating that hen. And you're like, you have feathers and blood on your face. Yeah. What? Like you were just doing... you were doing what you had to do because you're coursing with your power.
Yeah. Huh.
So yeah,
that's interesting.
It almost never, from what feels, I can tell, it yeah. never feels like controlled, even if you did kind of control it.
There is a really great moment in You've Got Mail where she's like, I am never able to say the exact thing I want to say when I want to say it, like an insult.
Yeah.
And then she does to Tom Hanks, but she doesn't know that he's the guy that she's writing to. And he says to her before she actually does it, she's like, I'm never able to say the thing that I want to say when I want to say it. And he's like, as someone who often does, I can tell you it only leads to regret. Like you don't, it doesn't feel how you think it's going to feel.
Thrilled.
And I'm finding this with anger. Like it's not like I can't greenlight my own anger. So sometimes I can feel angry and it feels good because it's such a new sensation. But in general, I'm like, this is not what I thought.
Oh my God. Yes.
Not what I
Welcome
thought.
To the anger dome.
Thank you.
And I never thought, just compared to you, you're like Princess Peach over there.
Mm-hmm.
Very gentle. And I love that. Always fake smiling. It's just my favorite. But I didn't, between the two of us, I am a million times more in touch with my anger and my aggressive emotions.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad you brought this up because we were talking about it. The cost. So I think I did. We already talk about it. Just tell me if this sounds podcast familiar. PF. That I was talking to my dad, and he said something about like wanting me to come home, and we are going to go home this summer. Go home. Go to Boston at some point this summer just to visit, which will be nice. It'll be fine. What will it be? What will it be? It's like a, it's like a, it's like a Jack in the Box. I know.
What do our cleaners think we're doing in here?
It's like a Jack in the Box that where you turn it and you just don't know what it's going to be.
Oh yeah,
more than anything, a visit home.
It's not only do you not know when it's going to pop, you don't know if it's going to be like a clown in there or if it's going to be a fucking gun.
Or sometimes it's just like a pizza, and you're like, "Wow,
wow, that was okay.
We can do it.
We did it.
We did it." But anyway, I was talking to our friend Chris about my impulse in that moment. My dad, and my, I've said this a million, my parents are great at dark humor. It's one of my favorite things about them.
Yeah.
It's like nothing sort of off limits, and they'll do it, and they'll dish it out and take it. It's great. So I considered in that moment when my dad says, why won't you come? I felt like he was sort of guilting me. I considered being like, because I, you know, it's horrible. I mean, no one likes it. You don't like, and there are times that you could do that. And my dad would laugh and then it'd be like, come on, though, come on. It's, you know, we'll enjoy it. Come on.
Yeah.
But it felt more sad from his side, like a little bit more vulnerable. So I just was like, I did what my higher function, my protector, my inner lawyer. And this goes back to what you were saying about anger and Meg Ryan and all that. I thought to say the joke or the insult, this sort of like, you know, he's coming in the bunny cage and I'm going to scratch. Ah! Like, get away from me. You can't pick me up out of this cage.
Yeah.
But instead I was like, we would love to. We're going to figure it out. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Like, that's not entirely true. So my friend Chris was like, why didn't you just say what was true?
Yeah.
And this spawned a very long conversation about why don't we say what is entirely true? I'm not talking about lying, although I'm also not trying to avoid the topic of lying. We can call it lying if you want.
Sure.
I just think it's more subtle than lying or not. It's like protecting.
Right.
And the reason is, a lot of times in my life when I've just said the thing, they make good stories and stuff. They're funny for like on stage, but like you realize that in saying the thing, it's like there's a hangover to it.
Yeah.
It's like, should I have 7 shots of tequila with this lunch?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's fucking so fun.
Yeah.
But as you get older, the 7 shots of tequila being like, I'm going to give my dad a little grief here. You realize the hangover is way larger than the pleasure. So you don't do it.
Right.
So it's like, well, not always completely honest being like, and he wasn't saying make the joke. He was saying like, you know, dad, I just don't feel like it right now. And or whatever. Like, and that's almost worse. It's just like, I just don't feel like we do have the time.
I know.
I just, you know, it's emotionally costly to me or something like that.
Like, totally. Well, it's like an being impeccable with your word situation. Like, just always say your exact truth. But like, I, you know, we've talked about this so much and we talked about it in that conversation too, that like your responsibility is to your child self, who specifically feels that you are putting them in danger.
It's protector, not just lying. By, it's yes, you know, but protect that child.
Protect that child. But also there, that's why it's so nuanced, because I don't think that's always true. Sometimes you do have to tell your child self, like, I know this is going to scare you to do this thing, but I got you.
Right.
You know, like, so it's not always do what your child self
would you do because you do
have an adult, but you have to be so discerning.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So what you're,
it's not always the time to stand on the rock with the lightning sword fighting the dragon.
That's right.
Sometimes it's time to go like, you know what? Porridge is on.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and have a little porridge.
But see, the, that lesson for you is what I already have down. I'm
porridge.
I am a porridge person.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to learn the other lesson of like, how do you, how and when do you know exactly what to say say it in the kindest way possible, but like use the fire of your anger. So Tara Brach talks about anger being just like an alert system. It's just alerting you that an injustice is done. Right. And you just use...
You think an injustice is done, by the way.
Right, which, yes.
Because the times I'm thinking about the handshaking, replying to a text because I think my father slighted me, it would have been great to be like, did he though?
Right.
Like, we don't know.
That's adding a whole other layer to it. But let's say there is like, an injustice being done to you. You use the anger as the alert system and then you drop the anger so that you can then like appropriately respond. But you can, have the anger be a little bit of the
fire.
The fire that helps you be brave to set a boundary.
Yeah.
This is something that is so theoretical to me. I can't even tell you how out of touch I feel with that concept.
Yeah.
I understand it in theory. I can't think of a single time I've
right
done
on,
it.
You're right on schedule, though.
When
I was your age, but you are 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And you always will be.
That's true.
Unless I croak, then you'll catch up.
That's true.
And then you can be like, this is how old Peter was when he died. Yeah.
And then you get lowered down on strings. Puppet, and I'm smiling.
It's in church.
Yeah.
You're like, praise the Lord. Why are they reanimating him for this? That was brilliant. And you are a gift. Did we finish that subject? Oh, I was just saying you're right on schedule.
Thank you.
And you know what? It's also like, what's the rush? It almost does feel like starting drinking, like dealing with anger and starting to play with it, starting to like, what would it be like you said, to use it as a fuel or what would it be like to really express myself? And we could talk out the other side of our face and be like, the times you do slay the dragon.
Yeah.
Like I've benefited a lot from that. Well, we can tell the story of my special, because there wasn't an anger there, but there was a decisiveness.
Well, that's it. Yeah. And I wanted to hear.
I filmed my special this past weekend. We'll tell the story, whether or not we tell it right now.
Yes.
But we're going to get to it at some point. But there was a moment where I had to be like, two things come to mind just to tip the bit. In between the shows, I needed time to reset. And I just was like, can I have the room, please?
Yes.
Very polite.
Yes.
But it was like, I'm not hosting a cocktail party.
Yes. Yes.
This isn't my birthday.
Right.
I need to lay on this couch and do breath work and like fucking get centered.
Yeah.
But it came out very polite. I was like, can I have the room, please? And everybody left.
Yeah.
But that is a little bit of that. Like, what if I just, because that would have been a bad moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm,
well, that's what I mean is
to be like, it's okay. It's fun. This is where the cold cuts are.
Yeah.
Fucking get out of here. I saw Burr do that too, by the way. See, I have these examples. I was in a green room, Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is years ago. Bill Burr was there and all these agents were there.
Mm-hmm.
And he just goes, can you guys get out of here? And they did.
Wow.
And he was like, I just can't. They're all just kind of floating around like amoebas. And I'm like,
wow.
Yeah.
See, that's exactly it. So this is basically masculine energy that I just feel so clumsy with. And like, I remember when you started weightlifting and you were experiencing this feeling. You were like, it's like I have a sword.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like that's exactly it. But because I'm so clumsy with it, I keep only cutting myself.
Now, that was the end of that metaphor. Was I was like, I have a sword and no one taught me how to use it.
Yeah.
And I am not trying to say my dad blew it or anything.
Yeah.
But nobody taught my dad how to do it. Nobody like, it's just like, it's not really on the menu.
Right.
I do think other cultures have done better historically with it.
But it's not even just using the sword to fight. It's like,
oh, I don't mean to fight. I just mean,
yeah, like, well, to drop the metaphor, it's like, this is a fire and like, it's getting, the cheapest room in the house is anger with this fire. So like the easiest possible use of this fire is anger, but it actually could be in that moment, it was It was channeled into just decisiveness. It was channeled into clarity. It was, it can be channeled into like ambition, like it was with your special. You know, so it's, that's what I'm trying to do is it beyond even like.
That didn't feel bad.
Yeah.
That felt good.
I bet. That's it. That's what I'm like. How do I use this
and you
to
will.
Feel good?
And what's happening is you let this sword get strapped to your belt. And most of the time you just cut your ankles. Like it sucks.
Yeah.
And it's heavy. And like I even had it, you know, my masculinity or whatever you want to call it, my testosterone misfires all the time. It happened today. I went in to drop Lila off. You were chatting in the parking lot. I came back and I was like, you can't do it. Assuming that you were incapable of peeling off.
Yeah.
So we could get going. And you were like, no, I didn't want to peel off. I was happy. So like. Yeah. That's why sword is good. It's not a scalpel.
Yeah.
It's a sword.
Yeah.
And it's a heavy two-handed sword. This is making me want to play Zelda. But it's a heavy two-handed sword. And you know, I don't know if this is a sad memory, but I remember being in the library and a guy shot me with an arrow. I'm just kidding. It's good to laugh again.
Yeah.
No, I can't know how old I was. I was probably in third grade, right? Mm-hmm. Just about where you could maybe read a young adult novel. And I read one of these, you know, like an adventure book. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's called. If I knew what it was called, I would love to read it. Because I only read the first couple chapters, if that.
Yeah.
And this is probably where I got my lifelong passion for reading the beginning of books and then stopping. Because I was like, I have enough to talk about it as if I've read it. God help me if there's a foreword that summarizes the book.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I've done whole interviews on this show being like, sounding
having
pretty
read
expert.
The introduction.
And I'm like, I read the intro and I read a review and like, and I watched one interview with you and it's like I read your book.
Oh, yeah.
And the author can't tell.
I know.
Oh, and sometimes I'm not shy about this. When Rainn Wilson did the pod, I hadn't read his whole book, but I will flip to a random late chapter and read that because then you go in with something that they're not going to get asked all the time.
Ah,
you talk about a later chapter.
Yeah, love
little,
it.
Little pro tip.
Yeah.
So anyway, I read this book. You know, it was on one of those spinning racks, you know?
Oh, yeah. I love those.
And they're you're picturing it just right. Like it would fit in your back pocket, these books, like these paperback books.
Yeah.
Yellow pages. Not the yellow pages. Okay, sorry. Anyway, it was this book about...
Also, when I say I love those racks, I meant like, I love that you just invoked that memory in me.
I knew what you meant.
It was weird that I was like, I love those. It's like, Belle's not listening.
I knew what you meant. I brought you to 1987.
Yeah.
And you loved that.
Exactly. Okay,
so,
I'm sorry.
Real quick, I read the book and it's about a guy who's... family is killed or something. Something happens.
Yikes.
Where a bad guy, like a Sauron, kills this guy's village or something. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's his wife, maybe it's his family, but he's the victim of this evil guy's murdering.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to like an Obi-Wan Kenobi type, like a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like the reason why I don't know if this is sad is I remember reading that and I was just like, come again? Like the idea of an older man, I was waiting for it. Mm. I think I'm still waiting for it.
Yeah, like, I think you are.
As a young boy, I really remember being like, any minute now, the initiation will happen. I'll be folded into the group.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for that. And this book had a weight to it because I was reading that this guy who was hurt and confused and angry finds an older man. It's like Man Without a Face. All of these books about Dead Poets Society.
Mm-hmm.
These are all just dad movies. These are all just like, oh, you need another dad. Like Robin Williams will be the dad that the guy from That 70s Show won't be.
Yeah.
So anyway, he goes, I'll train you to kill this guy, but I'm not going to train you until you can hold water in your hands and pass it from hand to hand while saying his name without spilling any.
Wow.
And I really think that was one of the earliest instances where I learned, or I was beginning to understand, that your mind, that there are people that are interested in not just not mind control like ESP, but your own mind,
right?
Like your own emotions. Like, mm-hmm. can we take your anger and calm it down? That's yeah. actually the first step.
Right.
It's a revenge story. It's not exactly the most enlightened tale.
Right.
Although I didn't finish it. Maybe he doesn't kill him. I don't know. But Lord knows I that wasn't in the foreword. But I always thought about that.
Yeah.
And I you know, if I'm that. Being honest, I still do. Just kidding.
Well, that is like using the anger as an alert system and then calming and then taking wise action.
Yeah, wise action.
Which is, you know, like.
Yeah, wise action. Yeah, that's it.
That's wise action. Like, you tried to say it with me.
Wise action.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. But that is like, so can, if I can tell the plumber story really quick, there was one other point I wanted to make about exercise though.
Oh, the plumber where I was like,
and that I was like furious yeah. and you were like my mouthpiece and it felt so good. But I also was like, why can't I was in freeze. I was in freeze in yeah. the kitchen holding.
I can't wait to tell you about this because, yeah.
Okay, we got to tell you. I just wanted to make one last point. There's one last point about exercising. Oh, because I disagreed with you where you were like, it's really easy. Why are these people celebrated? Because I just had a Pilates class that was so hard.
Yes.
And I was like looking at everybody in the room and I'm like, I'm doing this like 3 to 4 times a week. Why am I pudgy still?
Dude, I can, again, argue the other side so easily.
Yeah.
What I mean is moving a thing up and down isn't complicated.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
It's not
I
easy.
Get it.
Yeah.
I understand.
It's not complicated, but it's not easy.
Like
and
when,
also,
when Kumail gets buff, we're all like, holy shit, he slayed every dragon of
yeah.
doubt.
Yeah.
And that is a lot harder than just up and down. It's actually embarrassing. It speaks to how easy my workouts are. I'm more of a like consistency,
yeah.
but I don't work out to exhaustion.
Yeah.
Like I'm not, I used to in college, I couldn't wash my hair because you worked out your chest so much. You couldn't put your arms above your head. I don't do that. I just do it more often with less.
Yeah. And I'm like, because I was grumpy, the voice was like, I have to work way harder and I'll always still have a soft belly.
I love your soft belly.
And I love my soft belly too. And then I resent that exercising makes me not like my soft belly because I'm like, I should be seeing results if I'm working this hard.
Yeah.
It's so silly. But anyway, what I really want to do is like try and stay like I am doing Pilates and getting strong so that I can have a deeper connection to my gut so that I like my intuition so I can support myself so that my body is healthy and strong to be there for Leela, like keeping in touch with all of those. But it so quickly goes to the fucking patriarchy. Yeah. And
I
want to
get
like,
rid of my love I'm gonna handles look, yeah, or whatever.
Exactly.
I'm
so
with
I
you.
I have to keep
that's why
redirecting.
For me, and I don't know why you and I have this almost like snowflake kind of we can say that about ourselves approach, but I do for some reason about like these aggressive behaviors like exercise.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm always like, it's just for my brain. It's
just
for my
mental
mood.
Health, which is true.
And then you go like quietly in the mirror, you're like, hey, look at that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Me and your brother were laughing about how you don't want Ira Glass to remove a tumor. Like you don't want you don't want someone with the temperament of Ira Glass to be your surgeon. You want a bro.
Yeah.
A bro who goes in and nukes it and cuts it out and yanks it out.
It's like, I can get that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nah, I can
I'll just get that. I'll just get it. I'll go get it real quick.
He's watching Cheaters on a TV while he's doing it.
Yeah.
But Ira Glass would be like, well, you know, the tumor was there. I did leave a little bit. It didn't feel right to take all of it out.
You know what so I mean? Funny. That reminds me of my one Ira Glass story where we ran into him at the Cellar and I was pregnant. And we were talking about being pregnant and I just like quickly was like, it's a trip, man. Like the weight of like, I'm waking up a soul And I don't know if that soul wanted to be awake, and they all of a sudden have to do this whole human experience.
Yeah.
And it's just like, sorry, I hope that's what you wanted. And he was like, wow, you're really freaking me out.
Wow.
So yeah,
that's the plot of the movie Passengers, by the way.
I know.
Remember we talked about
and
that.
And I've said that before.
Yeah.
And
but that's, it's fun. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyways,
my perspective has shifted now. I don't think there's like, it doesn't matter. We can talk about it.
No. I think there's, yeah. Anyway, but I.
Wait,
I,
we're going to do the plumbers. Is that what you're going into?
Yeah, let's go into
let's
plumbers.
Let's go to mid-rolls, and then we'll be right back with Val's inability to be angry at a plumber and what I said to them. And then also we'll cover
the
story of shooting my special in Minneapolis this weekend, which really is a story, and I'm excited to share it with you guys. So we'll be back in, let me try and remember. I think it's just 2 minutes.
Yeah.
See you in 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Pardon the interruption, weirdos. One of the simplest and smallest things that has added so much value to our lives is cooking together as a family. And with a four-year-old, we've even noticed that when we allow our daughter into the preparation of the meal, she is so much more likely to try it and even try new foods. And Val and I are now in love with the best-looking, best-cooking new cook and bakeware from Caraway. They have no nasty chemicals. They're easy to clean, fun to use. The food slides right off the plate without anything disgusting hiding in the chemicals, which is wonderful. Whether you're late to spring cleaning or just about to do some anytime cleaning, their thoughtfully designed sets and complimentary storage makes getting and staying organized easier than ever. And you can now save 10% off the full suite of Caraway products, from their internet famous cookware to their newly launched food storage set. Caraway's high quality ceramic coating kitchenware is free of PTFE, such as Teflon, lead, cadmium, I hope I'm saying that right, and other toxic materials, so you know you're cooking safe. But I don't have to say it right because it's not in my life anymore. We're not just using random stuff at the store. We're using Caraway, which is the best of the best. Their kitchenware comes in a variety of chic shades. We got like a beautiful light cream color that really adds to the beauty of our kitchen, and all sets include complimentary easy access storage solution. Ceramic is naturally slick in the surface, which means minimal oil or butter for a slide off the pan eggs and super, super easy cleaning. I love the slick surface, and I love that it means I can use less oil and less fat when I'm cooking, and we got that beautiful color, and it's beautiful and easy to clean. I mean, you can't ask for anything better, and it gets us cooking more in the kitchen together. And over 40,000 people have raved about their Caraway kitchen. Now it's time for you to try it yourself and support this show. Visit carawayhome.com/weird to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for weirdos, so visit Caraway, C-A-R-A-W-A-Y, home, home.com/weird, and use code weird at checkout. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern. It's also brought to us this episode by our friends, you know this, at Next Evo, my absolute favorite, life-changing, game-changing CBD brand. Whenever I buy something, I always do my research. I'm one of those people, especially if it's something I'm going to put inside my body, because doing research before you buy means making better, more informed choices, especially when it comes to stress or sleep products like CBD. And that's where Next Evo Naturals, my favorite CBD brand, knocks it out of the park, which isn't always the case. A study by an independent lab confirmed some brands contain up to 60% less CBD than they claim on the label. That's over half less than they claim. But with Next Evo, you can trust you are getting the best of the best. Plus, they use smart sorb technology, proven to have 30 times better absorption in the first 30 minutes and 4 times the overall absorption as other products. And that is really what I tell people about Next Evo when I explain it to them. People say they don't notice when they take CBD, or they don't know when it's going to kick in. Next Evo isn't like that. It usually, for me, kicks in within 10 minutes, and you can dial in the dose just right because you see it, you feel it, and you can get it perfect for you. You can tell their stress gummies, which are CBD and whole plant ashwagandha, are lifesavers when I'm feeling overwhelmed and anxious. If I'm stressed and just can't get on with my day, can't face my inbox, can't handle company coming over, family, they are the most secret weapon to round the edges and get me back to feeling ready to face my day. If you've tried CBD before and didn't get it or didn't feel it, trust me, Next Evo is different. Give it a try. They even have these unflavored packets that I've been adding to my smoothies sometimes, a wonderful new way to get super quick absorbing CBD into your system. But I also love their stress gummies. Upgrade your CBD and show your support of the show. Go to nextevo.com/weird to get 20% off your first order of $40 or more. That's 20% off $40 or more at nextevo.com/weird. Okay, we're back.
Okay.
We're going to tell the story about plumbers and anger.
Okay. So a few months ago, I called a plumber because there were like a couple little things, but mostly because we wanted to get our Japanese bidet toilet seat installed.
Which is a game change. Once you have water squirting up your butt.
You can't go back. And we have been going back since August. Yeah. We haven't had it.
Don't get me started.
But we have the seat. Like, we already paid the money for the seat.
Yeah.
And we can't get it installed because we have these...
An outlet installed.
Yeah. And we have these, like, dumb shit toilets.
Doesn't matter. We have these toilets that you can't get to the back.
Yeah.
Like, anyway. They just made it so you can't get to the back.
Yeah. And then the other main reason was that our shower handles, you have to, like, push with all your might to get them on. It's like moving a rock from Jesus's tomb.
Oh my God. Well done.
It's ridiculous.
Well done.
So, so those are the two main things we needed fixed. Fast forward five different visits from plumbers, a whole other plan to like fix water damage, calling insurance.
Yeah, other things happened.
We still don't have the two things.
Yeah, it's like there was a problem. We called them in for this problem. And then all that's happened is other problems were found and solved. And we still don't have a bidet and we still can't. I can't adjust the heat on our shower. Like it's just frozen. And I'm like,
and they kept like
stinks.
Ordered parts for the shower, but they were the wrong parts. And each time this happens, I have to make another phone call to make another appointment.
Yes.
And like, I hate that's it. I know it's like such a privileged soft thing, but I hate doing that. So I'm furious that I have to do it over and over.
I was trying to write and all I could do was assist and supervise and let in plumbers.
Yeah.
And I was like,
and
I can't.
Yeah.
This was my whole day.
Yeah.
Was just kind of like letting in plumbers.
I know.
And everyone knows that is the voice of my pain body is like, I know it looks like this is easy, but I still need a couple of fucking hours.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
And exactly. I can't get that. And then I go on a hike or something. I see people building a fence and I'm like, they get 12 hours to make that fence. And every fucking person just goes, see you at 7:00.
Yeah.
And I'm almost jealous. I'm like, look at that dedicated work time. Yeah. All I did today was let in plumbers.
Yeah, exactly. And this one particular, most of them have been really helpful and kind, and it hasn't been their fault. But this one particular plumber just doesn't want to be a plumber, clearly.
Yeah.
And I get it. I wouldn't either.
That's really funny.
But you are one and you're here.
The joke I kept wanting to make with this particular plumber was because he kept telling me things he couldn't do and didn't know how to do and like wasn't even interested in looking. He's like, I don't know how to put that seat on. And I was like, yeah, I did it. You just have to look up a video and install it.
Exactly.
And he's like, ugh. I mean, and I'm like,
yeah.
Do you know, I wanted to go, is there a plumber we could call?
Do you know of any plumbers
we could call? I know it sounds like I'm being a jerk right now.
No.
But when someone's just like, tell the thing about going under the house.
Yeah, so he was like, the pipes to this toilet aren't in the wall. They're under the house. And I was like, oh, well, here's the crawl space. And he was like,
oh. Yeah.
That's this is a younger guy, by the way. He's like Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
Like, oh. And I was like,
That's sorry, smiling dude. While dancing, by the way. Like, that's smiling while yeah, dancing. It's yeah. like, I know it sucks to crawl under a house.
It sucks.
That's why we don't want to do it.
Yeah.
That's why you call a person who knows what they're looking for under the house.
Yeah. And I even was like, I'm sorry you have to do that, but like, you do have to do it. Like, he was like waiting for me to be like, well, I guess let's just keep having water damage then so that you don't have to go under the house.
Well, you go like, what kind of plumber, like what word needs to be before the word plumber so we know it's a real plumber?
Yeah.
Like actual plumber?
There is.
Like, so should we be looking in the A's in the yellow pages?
Yeah.
Not exactly. A book on a rack in the 80s. That's love a callback. Those.
Yeah, so then this like had gone on, has been such a saga. He was here like the other day. He has to replace the toilet.
Yeah.
So we're like, great, let's put the bidet seat on this toilet then, since you have to replace it anyway.
Yes.
And
since we're already going to shit town, let's just put the fucking seat on.
Because
here.
That was the whole thing with the seat is that we would have to take the whole toilet out to
so
put it on.
So you're like, you have to do that anyway.
Great, great. That problem is solved. At the very least, we'll have a bidet out of all this mess.
Yeah.
And he knew, we gave him the seat. He knew what the seat looked like. He went shopping for a toilet. He went and got a toilet, installed it, tried to put the seat on, went, this doesn't fit on the seat. And so this is when I'm in freeze. I'm seething. I'm a ball of fire in the kitchen listening to this.
Yeah.
He's saying this to you because that was the other thing that made me pissed off.
Talk
he
to
would
me.
Only talk to you, even though this has been my
it's
account.
It's been your thing. I
this
know.
Is my account.
It's been your thing.
This has been
and
my
And as
journey.
Soon as I walk in, every head just turns to me. And, and I keep going like, this is Val's thing. You're being nice. You, Valerie, are being nice and taking care of it.
Thank you.
But he goes like, he's just like, yeah, this doesn't fit. And you said later, you're like, why didn't he bring the seat to the place where they sell toilets and make sure it fits? That would be a craftsman. You know what I mean? That would be someone who knows and cares about plumbing would be like, this seat is going on this. Let's make sure it fits.
Yes.
He didn't. Installed it and then tried, which is just it's a mistake I would make too. But then he's like, he's looking at me like it's my fault. He's like, this doesn't fit.
And you said, oh, well, I guess we need a new toilet then. And then he did his signature.
And I was like, he was like, these don't fit this toilet. It has to be this kind of toilet. And I was like, this fit the toilet upstairs, which is not that brand of toilet.
Yep.
And it fit the toilet. And I didn't even say it like this. I was very gentle.
Yeah.
I was like, well, it fit the toilet at our old place and it fit the toilet upstairs. So I feel like this toilet is the anomaly.
Yes.
And he was like, oh. And then I filled instantly with boiling acid and just went, fine, we won't have a bidet.
No, before that.
What was that?
He went, well, if you want to go find a toilet that fits this, you can, but I can't be spending my time hunting for a toilet.
Yeah.
And I was like, I literally had a can in my hand and like visualized squeezing it.
So you should have squeezed it.
I should have squeezed it.
Yeah.
And then you went, okay, fine, I'm done. We don't have a bidet, whatever. And then like...
Yeah, and walked away. Which again, any person reading cues or caring, we really are talking about like crafts. Look, and I understand we want everyone to be excellent and not everyone's excellent. And to your point, this guy's maybe he just doesn't love plumbing. And I get it.
Yeah.
And also like the reason I mentioned he's younger is, you know, we've talked about going to Home Depot in the 80s. It seemed like everybody was Al from Home Improvement and knew their stuff. And now you go in, it's just a bunch of people that will look up something on their phone. There's no knowledge. There's no craft. It's like cab drivers in London, like, have to pass a test. They have to have the knowledge and they learn how to be a cab driver. Now we're all just Ubers. It's all just some guy named Larry. And we're all just fucking craft is going out the window. Yeah. So that's really what's going on.
Yeah.
And I know that we can't expect everybody to have craft. But anyway, this guy's boss comes the next day.
Yeah.
This I think is a good example of what we're talking about.
Yes.
And he goes into, oh, so those dudes left. Napoleon Dynamite tried to fix the handles in the shower.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay. And he was like, I got to go through the wall. And I'm just like, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't say that, but I was like, well, if we have to go through the wall, we just won't fix it.
Right.
And he was like, okay. And then he's like, my boss is going to come later. Because I'm like, fine. So his boss comes. This is a craftsman. This is a guy who like asks oh man, I hope we don't sound like assholes, but like takes his shoes off. He's being really considerate.
Yes.
He's
meeting me later today.
No, he's a gem.
At a plumbing store to make sure that I know how to get the right
thing. And we know how to deal with people. Like, we're not waiting for the world to unfurl for us. No, we're just venting that sometimes it's frustrating.
Yes.
And then this guy comes and then he goes upstairs and he tries to fix the shower handles because they're stuck. They're impossible to turn on.
They made them worse. This guy, I forgot.
Yeah. So Napoleon left, and not only did he not fix them, but he fucked them up.
Yeah,
he and made now them worse. They won't even adjust. So now it's like scalding hot. It's piping hot.
Yeah.
So you can't adjust it. And I'm like, and this is what I'm trying to say. If I used my sword appropriately.
Yes, you did.
I took it out very calmly.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even wielding it. I was just holding it like as if I was presenting it to somebody, like a Marine.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I was like, I think the reason this is frustrating is because we wanted you guys to fix this and now it's worse.
Yeah.
And that's all I said.
Yeah.
And brilliant.
Yeah.
The guy goes, I completely get it.
Yeah.
And we won't charge you for this. Don't worry.
Amazing.
And then he goes, we do have to go through the wall. So in the end, at the end, they're getting a big job out of it. And that's nice. So there's still going to be a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it was nice that he was like, we're not going to charge you the, what, $25 that we looked at this and then fucked it up.
That's right.
It's just a courtesy. It's just this dance. Yeah. We're all in this chaos. Life is insane.
Yeah.
And I actually said that to him at one point. I go, he goes, I'm sorry we couldn't get it going. And I was like, hey, man, we're dealing with physical matter. Like, it's random. It's so weird. I completely get it. We were having a great time.
Yeah.
And I guess we're not really talking about plumbers. We're just talking about all human interaction.
Yeah,
it's absolutely. Like when you get in an elevator, and I like to stand by the buttons and ask people what floor they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't answer, but they reach in between me and the wall and they push it themselves,
mm-hmm.
I'm always like, and you can go fuck yourself. Yeah. Like I just immediately go from Fred Rogers to Fred Durst.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That just came off the dome. I can't believe I thought of two
really
Freds.
That was really good. That was good.
I get immediately filled with rage. Yes. So anyway, that... And like new like, he was also a sword wielding masculine person, and neither of us were getting nasty. He was just like, yeah. I hear that. It's fucking insane. What did I say to you? Oh, I had a money panic because of the strike. And I was like, there's so much less going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I vented to you and then I exercised and I felt so much better. And I was like, it's crazy. This is what we're always saying about therapy. Why? We've had that same conversation.
Yeah.
Where you have to talk me off the ledge and go like, it's okay. I think you're pinpoint focused on one thing and you need mm-hmm. to remember the big picture and you've been in this situation before. And we really uncovered for the millionth time, it's not even that. I just need to say to you like, sometimes I'm stressed out about this. And then you just kind of like calm me down.
Yeah,
all right, we're almost out of time. Let's do the story about the special.
Yeah.
And we'll keep tabs on Valerie's getting in touch with her anger.
Yeah.
Because I didn't regret saying that. Oh, those two things are related. Well, I didn't regret saying to the guy like, this toilet's the anomaly. Like
right.
You did handle it
all very well. And even when I was just complaining to you about the guy was long gone and I was venting to you about him. In real time while I felt crazy. Remember we were walking up those stairs and I was like, I'm going to say something that's very like black and white.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily fully believe all of this because I know this isn't the full, and you were laughing at me because it was like, and I'm like, I'm so clumsy with anger, but I was like, I'm just going to say it. And even though I know I might change my mind, I'm just mad, but I don't like that plumber.
That I know. I thought you were going to be like, that dude should be boiled in oil. Like, fuck him. And you were just like, I don't like that guy.
I don't like that
guy. But it's what we uncover on this pod constantly. You learn that being safe was, you said it earlier, being likable and being amenable.
And here's the thing that like always cuts off my anger, and then we'll get to the special. It's this belief of like, I can't not see all sides of everything for even 1 second.
Which is why comedy is so valuable to me, because comedy is this great excuse to just, like my opener of my new special is how I hate New Year's.
Mm.
I don't hate New Year's. I mean, I do.
Yeah.
But I can see both sides. Have I had great New Year's Eves?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've had way more shitty ones. So I'm just going to I'm just going to lean into that.
Yeah.
And it's also funny to lean into that. It's right. not funny to be like, you know, it can be okay. It's funny to be like,
That's There's something really comforting too about people just having solid opinions.
I agree. You know? And it feels good and it's therapeutic to sometimes just be like, I could overflow with compassion for that guy. I've had nice moments with that guy, the Napoleon Dynamite guy.
Me too.
He did install that toilet. I'm grateful that it's not leaking anymore, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But like, sometimes you're just like, is there a plumber we could call? And I didn't say that, but you know, that's what I'll say to you. I'll be like, that dude needs not a reel in front of his title.
Yeah.
Plumber, parentheses, not a real one.
Yeah. Reluctant plumber. Yeah,
Reluctant Plumbing Incorporated.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Well, we can do it real quick because you and I only have an hour pretty much today. But I filmed my special this past weekend. Thank you to everybody who came out. And it really was a story.
Yeah. It was a saga.
It was a little saga. This special felt more, I don't know. I was more in touch and more honest with the emotions that go into doing a special. So this is my fourth hour that I've filmed. And I think other times I was just a little bit more in denial. I also didn't have community. I also wasn't just as open.
I think you had a lot other things going on too. So the first time you had crashing going on,
and just it was
taking
just something
your attention
that I had to do.
And the
as
second
well.
One, Leela was like 2 months old. So yeah, you had all that.
Yeah. This was like, I had plenty of time to take inventory of my feelings. So to give you an example, I was like, oh, I'll take fiber so I have a good poop before my special. Like, so I'm leaving town on a Thursday. I'm not going to take fiber with me. So I'm taking fiber and I'm like, this is perfect. It'll be in my system and I'll have a good poop before. Like, fucking insane. I'm like, stop masturbating. Rocky rules. Like, you got to keep all of your energy, all of your mojo intact. This is how these programs are just running in the background. I just know, like, gotta exercise, gotta this, gotta watch movies about stand-up, gotta get in touch with what you love about stand-up, all this stuff. So we do the show, we get there, Oren Brimmer and Dave Rath and All Things Comedy, Mike at All Things Comedy, they all did such a great job setting up the venue. I told them I didn't want to worry about it. You set it up. I kept telling Oren, I was like, you're coaching the game, I'm playing the game. I only want to play the game.
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing. I think I will do that.
Yeah.
You do everything else. And they did that. Fucking nailed it.
And they did
Oren
a great job.
Oren is an incredible director.
They nailed it. Yeah.
And Mike and All Things Comedy were great producers. And Dave Rath is a great producer. Anyway, they were like, first show, we're about to film. They're like, we're going to not have the air on because the air conditioning is loud. And that didn't even sound weird to me. I was like, oh, I guess that's what you do. Mm. And I was like, just keep it on as long as you can. Mm-hmm. And they want to turn it off for the sound. So I go out for a show, great crowd, incredible, and I'm ready to do it. I'm feeling good. I had that good poop we were talking about. And I go on stage and I'm just like sweating within the first 10 seconds. And then 5 minutes in, now I'm almost drenched. 30 minutes in, I am drenched in sweat. It is so hot in this room that I'm wearing like a jean jacket, thankfully, so you can't see the pit stains. But my undershirt was wet. My hair was wet. Like it looked like I not quite had been swimming, but I addressed it at one point during the set. I was like, we got to run the air conditioning next show or something. Because I was like, whoever watches a special and goes, that was good, but I could hear the air conditioner. Whoever watches a special and goes, that was good, but why was he sweating so much? Everyone. Every single person.
Yep.
So this is where the sword of whatever, of good speaking up for yourselfness came out. I got off stage and the first thing I said was, I need AC.
Yeah.
Like pretty forcefully, not angrily, but just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You have to run the AC.
Yeah.
And nobody was pushing back.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, oh, we will. We saw it too. We will.
Yeah.
And I was like, great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then I go downstairs and I'm pretty shaken. It would be cooler to say I was angry. I wasn't angry as much as I was scared.
Yeah.
That when you do a comedy special, you do two so you can marry them and make one great special out of the best bits of each one.
Right.
And because I was sweating so much, I was thinking about, like, I would feel like a bead of sweat going down my forehead and into my eyebrow, and that's all I would be thinking about. Mm-hmm. Not the performance, not the joke. So I'd fuck up the wording a couple times. Like, just understandably couldn't really do my act while someone was basting me in my own juices.
Right.
So we don't have a backup show as far as I'm concerned. Right. Some of the people are like, that was great.
You do and have I, more than you think. But yes, in that, for you.
This is what really, I realized that I'm not just going for, like, we got the special, and I know you know this. I'm going for magic.
Right.
I want to film, capital S, capital H, something happened.
Right.
I want to capture a ghost on film or a UFO landing. I don't just want to record the jokes. I want it to be an event. I want there to be mojo and swagger and electricity and magic. And I got off stage, and everybody, as they should, meaning keep be supportive, was like, that was great. Open yawn.
I'm sorry.
Talking through it.
Yeah.
You have heard this story a few times.
And I was there. But I want to hear it. I love it.
Well, how do you think I feel? I've told this story five times. So I understand. So anyway, people were like, that was good. I'm thinking we can't use any of that because I look like Rush Limbaugh. He's dead. But you know what I mean? I just look like a very, very sweaty man at a buffet. And this is where the story of it came in. So first things first, good masculine energy. I say, before anything else, I need AC. Full stop. Okay. Stood up for myself. Good. Two, go downstairs. This is when everybody's in the green room. My wonderful agent, Danielle, is there. Dave is there. Great people. Welcome people. Yeah. But I didn't do my breath work before the show. I always do Wim Hof before I go on stage. I just didn't get to do it because there was too many things to do. And I was just like, can I have the room? I was proud of myself for that because I didn't waste any energy feeling weird that I was like, I need to be alone.
Yeah.
But it pulled the bowstring back so far. I was like, instead of feeling like we got it and now the second one just have fun, which is what you want, I'm thinking we don't have it. Yeah. I was hosed down in olive oil and now it's all riding on this second show.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. And you pointed this out. I'm so grateful to have a nervous system and a constitution, I guess you could say, that when I'm under pressure, I do better.
Yeah.
But what you don't remember about that, what I don't remember about that is you don't know. That's not for certain.
Yeah.
You're hoping that you'll kick into gear.
Right.
But you're also like, I had the thought in between shows, what if we don't get it? Well, like that occurred to me as a real threat.
That's an essential part of it. Like if you did know and trust that, then you wouldn't be under pressure and you wouldn't rise to the occasion.
Exactly.
So it fully relies on you fully buying in.
Like, I might not
get
it.
These stakes are high. It might not happen because then that like revs your engine and you
go. And if I wasn't, you're absolutely right. The thing that made the second show great, spoiler alert, it was great, was thinking it might not be great.
Yeah.
And Matt, the wonderful Matt McCarthy is on stage. He's doing his closer. I'm in the wings. I'm about to go on. His closer involves the word gay. He's quoting someone as saying that wrestling is gay. And he's about to like defend that and talk about how homophobic that is and all that stuff. But he doesn't even get there. Someone who's blacked out drunk in the crowd stands up and literally at a TV taping.
Yeah.
Stands up and goes, that's rude. You're so rude. Yeah. Not just heckling, but stands up.
Yeah.
Like a town meeting and starts yelling, you're so rude, and won't stop.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, what the fuck is going on? My first show was scrapped.
Yeah.
This show, there's hecklers.
This is happening. Yeah. At the very beginning.
This is where we're at going in.
Yeah.
Matt skillfully turns it into the best part of the show. This person and their, I've thought about their two friends. I'm like, I wonder if they felt bummed that they had to leave with their friend. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it is funny because she left first. And then like a couple seconds later, like the guy that was with her was like, I'm leaving too. And like, I was like, he clearly like sat there being later. Like, I have to leave too, I guess. Otherwise, I'm like not.
So yeah, he yelled out. There was a little bit more commotion.
Yeah, but Matt use it to like bond the audience.
Okay, so this is what we're talking about. In two instances, one, the thought, I don't know if we'll get it.
Yeah.
Turned into the golden engine.
Uh-huh.
Two, a heckle and this weird, strangely like disturbing moment, meaning like this reminder that the audience really is just a bunch of individuals and maybe you can just yell out comments. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
There's also this bad thing turned into the golden engine where the whole audience got unified. Matt turned it into this great moment and got all these laughs out of it and then brings me out. So two things, this is just what we're always talking about, suffering.
Yeah.
So, Richard Rohr's definition of suffering is when you're out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Very liberal definition. But in both of these cases, I'm feeling out of control and scared.
Yeah.
And now I'm scared of the crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm just like the situation.
Yeah.
Both of those got turned into gold. And within 5 seconds, in a crisp, cool room,
yeah,
thank God,
mm-hmm.
within 5 seconds, I just knew my brain was jump-started. Something happened.
Yeah.
My language centers showed up.
Yeah.
My recall of why I love comedy, and also, more importantly, why these jokes specifically are important to me,
mm-hmm.
showed up.
Mm-hmm.
I was less interested in, like, doing anything other than just being funny.
Yeah.
Not even doing my act, just like be funny.
Yeah.
Be funny. And 5 minutes in, I realized like it's happening.
Yeah.
And then I was like, don't think about it. And I didn't.
Yeah.
And then it ended and I was like, and I got off stage and I said to you, that's how you bake a cookie.
Yep.
And I gave you the biggest kiss and the biggest hug. And I was just, and I know this is your part of the story, but Lila was having a little bit of a meltdown at bedtime. So you were FaceTiming with her, you know, just wanted mama and dada. And then you came back and Matt went, he's killing.
Yeah. So like,
this never happens. See, Matt understands it never happens when the cameras are rolling.
No.
And it had to happen the second show. And it did happen.
And it's
fucking crazy.
Well, it's so interesting because the pain, I just am putting this together that if you do your special and it goes all right, but you know
that it could have been better,
that you've even done other versions of that hour that aren't taped that were better.
Yeah.
That's really painful. And this was the best. I've seen you do the hour, you know, multiple times. This is the best it could have possibly gone.
Well, like new lines even came out. There were certain things I was riffing that like made the joke make sense. Yep. Almost like that should have always been there. And it came out.
And you were comfortable and playful and loose. And it was like the connection with you and the audience was, it was so exciting.
I'm very grateful to everyone that came out.
Yeah.
And everybody that was involved. But the story, I just think it's, I'm always saying underreported. I do think it's underreported, the pressure and the fear. And I forgot. Everybody in town just kept reminding me of what a high wire act it is. Yeah. And that sort of freaked me out, actually.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Birbiglia about this. It's like, it's why comedians are like assassins and they only hang out with each other and they don't go like, you have that big hit in South America this weekend, The Dictator or whatever.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
Right.
We just go, you're going to be great. Just focus on, you know, getting there.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And now we have all these people in our lives that are like, wow, that's a big deal. And I'm like, I'm livestock. You're freaking me out. Like, I can't handle this.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's going out for your license. Don't tell people. tell them you got your license. Don't tell them you're going out for your license.
Right.
I literally was like, oh yeah, next time I think I am going to like keep it to myself. And then when I'm done, be like, I did my special and have everyone be like, oh my God. Because as I was on stage sweating during the first set, there was this a friend of ours. We were having coffee and she was like, oh, it's your special? Oh my God. And she sort of twisted her head like, oh my God, that's so exciting. And that really freaks me out. She doesn't know, but that like freaks me out. And I'm on stage sweating and thinking this isn't good. And I swear I saw a translucent replay of that moment where she's like, oh my God, that's so exciting. And I was like, this is why comedians are just like statues around each other.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're doing Carnegie Hall? That's going to be great, man. That's going to be great. That's all you say. Because yeah. we're such titty babies.
Yeah. Yeah.
The end.
And everybody is like, all these friends are just loving you they would think.
It would be insane if they didn't act that way. That's yeah. why it's on me.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe just don't mention it. Yeah. And then afterwards be like, hey, good news.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah.
That's everyone did exactly not only what was right, but what any human would do, which right. is be excited for right. them. So yeah. This is not me talking shit.
It was a sight to behold. I'm so glad I got to see it, and I'm excited for people to see it.
It'll be out in October.
Oh, it is October. I didn't know when it would come out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's great. Awesome.
So that's 4 months of touring it, and then it'll air.
Fantastic.
All right.
All right, everybody. Well, that's us. How are you?
I feel weird. We did all the talking.
Well, I'm so sorry. We really monopolized that
Calvin.
One. Next time, it's all about you.
We could do a call-in episode. That'd be fun.
That would be fun. All right, everybody. Go ahead and keep it crispy, if you dare.